League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
People say I am the best boss.
You can find us on Twitter at SB Nation Radio and call in at 1-800-777-2907. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Good Monday night to everybody. Welcome in. And just for the record, I'm the boss and she is the gloss. It's not the other way around.
That's right. Just for any confusion out there.
So my Monday Night Delight, Carla Dawson, it's amazing we had our last show on Monday night 1 week ago, and so much has happened, certainly in the city of Houston, but across the world of sports. It's been a very, very big week.
It's been huge. It's been kind of a teeter-totter of emotions, I have to say.
So, of course, in Houston, you have to start with the Astros winning the World Series, the parade, all the energy and excitement throughout the city.
Unbelievable victory. 1 million people at the parade.
1 million people turning out.
56-year drought.
Well, and Houston was ready for a championship. It had been a long time, and certainly a tough window post-Harvey. It was a great thing for the city.
It was a great thing for the city and a great thing for that franchise, and I don't think they're over. They're not done, so that's good.
Also, in the last week, there was an NFL trading deadline, and Garoppolo was traded the night we were last here.
Right.
But now the Eagles have Jay Ajayi. I mean, they've got a really good running back.
It was an exciting trade deadline. I love that. And then Kelvin Benjamin,
yep,
leaving Carolina and going to Buffalo. That was a great pickup as well.
So we'll look at some of those later in the show. Mm-hmm. Another big event this week, Carlos Correa got engaged.
Lots of love on the they literally love each other.
They love each other. And then more love, Verlander and Upton.
Married in Tuscany.
Kate Upton and Justin Verlander got married right after the World Series win.
Yesterday.
And then on the downside, Deshaun Watson with his ACL tear. We'll talk about that and what it means for the Texans.
Yeah. It's a big loss.
Also this week, big news. Ezekiel Elliott was suspended. And then he was not suspended. And he played, and he played very well.
Okay, like, really, when did these legal options run out for this guy?
It is a long...
It may even change by the end of the show.
Long saga. And then last but not least, of course, since we've last met, there was Halloween. And there was a lot of anticipation on the last show what you would wear as your Halloween costume. And we now know you were in the full one-piece Wonder Woman costume, were you not?
This is true. But I know your costume, too. I think you need to reveal that.
Oh, do tell.
To our listeners.
I was Superman. You were Wonder Woman. And we are the boss and the gloss. And when we come back, we got a full slate of topics. We'll talk some baseball when we return on SB Nation Radio.
The Boss and the Gloss continues now on SB Nation Radio with David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Oh, see, what happens is during the break, Chris Tubbs, our producer, picks songs that will warm the heart of Carla Dawson.
And it worked. We got a little treasure going.
She's
here.
Doing a little dancing to some
Bruno
Mars.
I'm trying to warm the cackles of your heart.
Well, he does that, and he does it well. Now listen, for the whole city of Houston, somebody who warmed the hearts of the city, the Astros. And the Astros, there's so many things you could reflect on that series. But one of the most amazing things to me are the teams they beat. They got through the Red Sox, the Yankees, and the Dodgers, three monstrous teams, legendary teams.
And you know what I love about this? In order, in ascending order, from the knockoff of the Red Sox to the Yankees and then all the way up to the Dodgers, they beat $500 million of baseball to win the World Series.
Incredible payrolls of all those three.
The numbers 1, 2, and 3 payrolls.
Yep.
And we're down at, the Astros are down at number 18, 19 at about $125 million. So that is pretty good leverage to take out $500 million worth of baseball to be a World Series champion.
A great run, and it ends what, a drought. In fact, it's really notable. The last 3 years, there's been a, well, let's call them a trifecta of drought busters. In 2015, Kansas City with its championship, first time in 32 years. And then, of course, the Cubs ending their 108-year curse. And then the Astros winning after a 56-year drought and their first ever World Series championship. So an incredible run for teams that had never gotten there.
Unbelievable. And Cleveland is still in, you know, they're awaiting their drought. They almost had it. Remember game seven last year. But they've been in a World Series drought since 1954. But there are, believe it or not, six teams out of 30 that have never won a title. Seattle Mariners.
Yep.
Which surprised me because, as you mentioned earlier before we started, that they got close.
Oh, they had a season with more than 100 wins and were the favorite heading into the playoffs, but couldn't finish the deal.
Right. Texas Rangers.
Yep.
Colorado Rockies, Washington Nationals, which they change managers, keep trying to get that, San Diego Padres, and the Tampa Bay Rays. So those guys have
never won. And actually, well, the Nationals might win in the near term, but other than
they're
the Nationals, and the Rangers have been close and had some really good teams.
And the Rockies were in the postseason this year. So they're making ways, but boy, it's hard to win. And it's hard to repeat. I mean, you just mentioned these three drought busters. You know, in the last 3 years, none of them, you know, no repeats. It's really tough.
No repeats. Almost impossible to repeat. But the Astros are poised. They've got a young team. And a lot of their pitchers didn't really get taxed this year. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the teams that wins the World Series, the reason they can't repeat is all their pitchers had to pitch all those extra innings to the playoffs in the World Series. But the Astros pitching staff really didn't get beat up this year.
No, three of their top four in Keuchel, McCullers, and Morton all had limited innings because of injuries, which was tough during the regular season for the Astros, but it's going to bode well for their future. Just prolongs these arms longer, so that's great.
So Verlander comes back. Now, he did pitch a lot of innings. He's proven to be very durable.
He's so durable. He's 34 years old.
He's not a young man anymore. Astros have him for two more years at
but
big dollars.
But he's newly married. That brings some youth, I'm quite sure.
Well, Kate Upton can keep him young.
Yes.
We learned some facts about their personal life from you not long ago.
Yes, we did this summer, but I'm not going to repeat those. But you can take those, David.
Well, so presumably Kate will be the fountain of youth for Justin Verlander. And
at 25 years old.
Is she only 25?
Yes, 9 years younger.
Hmm.
Which doesn't sound bad.
No, yeah. Actually, everything about it sounds actually just great. She is beautiful.
Spoken like a true man, yes, of course.
Okay, well, earlier today, one of our reporters, Joe George, had a chance to talk with the self-proclaimed world's longest-suffering Astros fan. He is TPMC Realty Corporation's COO. He is Steve Seltzer, and we're going to listen to this discussion with Steve Seltzer, a long-standing Astros fan.
All right, so right now I'm joined by Steve Seltzer, COO of TPMC Corporation, a commercial real estate investment corporation. Houston-owned properties are Park Towers and Uptown Galleria, Edwards Theater and Retail Project in Greenway Plaza, and 801 Louisiana in the heart of the CBD. Steve, thanks for joining me. And obviously, it's a really exciting time right now for Houston. What was going through your mind during Game 7 of the World Series?
Well, it was, first of all, thanks. Thanks for having me, Joe. It's great to be a Houston fan today, Houston Astro fan.
Yeah, it absolutely is. So how long have you been a fan of the Astros?
Well, you know, probably since the early 60s. I'm a native Houstonian, born and raised in Houston, Texas, lived in Texas my whole life. I remember going in the 60s to the old Colt 45 Stadium prior to the Astrodome, and it sat kind of in the wings of the Astrodome, which now probably is where NRG Center is. And it was I remember going to games with my dad and my uncle, and saw some great Colt 45 players like Bob Aspermonte, Bob Lillis, Al Spangler, and one of my all-time favorites, a pitcher for the 45s, Turk Farrell.
Yeah, so, you know, last night had to be one of the best moments as a fan. So what was kind of the worst? Because in Houston, there have been a lot of bad ones. So last night was an all-time high, but this is kind of, you know, there's been lows in Houston sports history.
You're right, unfortunately, I've probably been there for most of them. I've seen a lot of games. I think some of the most difficult losses for an Astro fan was the 1986 loss to the Mets, the 16 innings, and when Billy Hatcher hit the home run in the bottom of the 14th to tie the game. I thought that that was, you know, the Astros were destined to win the National League. Unfortunately, we ended up losing in the 16th in the National League title. So that was probably, other than this World Series, and that was probably one of the toughest moments or worst moments. I would say one of the toughest moments in being an Astro fan.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of, there's the years where there's a couple hundred lost seasons, and then now it's like it's all positive, and it's really nice to see it be back on the uptick for this team because, you know, being from Chicago originally, when they were NL Central rivals, you know, there was the Astros were up and down just like the Cubs were for so many years. So it's nice to see the Astros really like swinging it back into gear like full time now.
You know, it is. I had been a supporter of the Astros for many, many years. And the up and down roller coaster of losing 100 plus games, being in the cellar, and it was frustrating. But, you know, I was kind of joked with my friends. I had Astro fever, catch the fever. And it's difficult when your team's in the cellar to get anybody excited about it. But
yeah,
but I've always been there.
So you talked about the bad moments. Did you have any doubt because of the history of, you know, the Astros, the Oilers, Texans, Rockets, that this team could really go all the way this year?
You know, no, I never doubted that this team, you know, could put it all together for a championship or a World Series team. You know, I think they've been building this team for the last few years. You know, I really commend Jeff Luhnow and Reed Ryan for building a basis for a great, great baseball system. If you look at one of the most successful minor league farm systems in Major League Baseball, it's been the Astros. So over the last few years, the Astros minor league program has really dominated in most of their respective leagues. That coupled with great draft choices, Bregman, Correa, on and on, and, you know, great offseason trades, Justin Verlander, and many, many, many more. And I think that coupled, Joe, with just a great manager, A.J. Hinch, a strong pitching coach with Brent Strong, and Alex Cora, our bench coach, who will now be the new skipper in Boston. And that'll be a tough loss to the Astros, but Alex will probably have great success at Boston.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what we can do in Boston. It's crazy. The first two teams the Red Sox played, both their managers got fired. I'm sure Dave Roberts in L.A. is not feeling very comfortable right now.
He's probably not.
Track record to see the two guys before that the Astros beat get fired. What was your favorite game this season that you went to?
Well, I mean, without thinking, there's no doubt Game 5 of the World Series Sunday night. It was an emotional roller coaster for the players as well as the fans. Not to mention it was a 5-plus hour game.
Yeah.
It was probably one of the highest points in the Astros season, one of the lowest points. But the momentum shifted, seemed like, every inning. It was unbelievable.
Well, Steve, I can tell you're a big fan, so congratulations. I know what it's like to see your team get the big one and win the World Series. And thanks so much for the time today. Appreciate it.
Thanks. I'm really happy for the city of Houston, the entire Astro organization, and our dedicated fan base. And as they say, we're Houston strong.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Steve.
Thanks, Jeff.
Steve Seltzer, who has really rooted for the Astros basically all of his life and now finally saw the culmination of a dream.
Began with the Colts 45s. That's pretty impressive.
Well, yeah. You weren't born then, but the Colts 45.
No, thank the Lord for small favors, yes.
They did exist long ago. And those years in the Astrodome were sort of cool. The Astrodome was a novelty back then. That was the first time anybody played baseball indoors.
Yeah, I saw, the only game I saw in the Astrodome was Randy Johnson versus Mark McGwire. When Mark McGwire was with the A's and working on the home run record, and Randy Johnson had that stint with the Astros before he went to Arizona.
Sure.
Very cool. It was like I sat at the tippy top of the rafters, I mean the last row, and it was worth every second.
Worth every second, and thus was the Astros' season. We'll put a bow on that, and when we come back, we're going to get a chance to talk to Dan Reeves, the legendary coach of the NFL, so and we'll talk some that. NFL.
The Boss and the Gloss continues now on SB Nation Radio with David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Well, joining us now on SB Nation Radio, legend Coach Dan Reeves. Dan Reeves in 9 Super Bowls as a player, a head coach, or assistant coach. Coach, welcome in. So glad you were with us.
Well, it's great to be with you anytime, guys and girls.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dan. Equal opportunity employee, for sure.
That's right. That's right.
So, Coach, our resident historian in the building, Craig Larson, is very excited. You know, this New Year's Eve is going to mark the 50-year anniversary of the Ice Bowl, the great Cowboys-Packers playoff game. It's been 50 years. Can you believe that? And let me just make sure everybody hears this. But Dan Reeves was playing in that game and was a standout. You threw a halfback option pass late in the game that gave the Cowboys the lead.
Well, it did. Actually, it was the first play of the fourth quarter, and that was probably because with the timeout between quarters, it was really cold, and Don Meredith was our quarterback, and he told me he was going to call a play. So I'm trying to figure out how in the world I'm going to keep my hand, because they wouldn't let you wear gloves back then, and we didn't have the type of equipment that you needed to be able to wear gloves. So, you know, I didn't have any gloves, so I'm just trying to figure out how in the world I'm going to keep my hands warm enough to throw a halfback pass. And sure enough, it was wide open, and thank goodness, you know, I didn't overthrow him or underthrow him. He caught it. And we really thought, because it was the first play of the fourth quarter, and the field was in very tough situation. You couldn't hardly stand up, and it was almost impossible to, you know, to move the football with any consistency. But, you know, a guy named Bart Starr had different ideas, and he took them right down the field and scored with a quarterback sneak.
Wow, that is exciting. That was a game for the ages, for sure. Coach Reese, I want to take you back to your franchise in Denver, where you were the youngest head coach at the time in the NFL. Looking at Denver today, what is going on there? We know they've got some situations with the quarterback, clearly, with Brock Osweiler starting over Trevor Siemian this weekend. But the defense, which can usually be counted on, Philly puts up 51 points on them and 419 yards yesterday. What's happening in Denver?
Well, I think it does start, you know, with the quarterback position. They're not getting the, you know, the type of play that you need. You know, people talk about the defense, but really and truly the offense, by controlling the football, can really help your defense a great deal and keep them off the field. So, you know, I think that is part of it. They're going through a, you know, new coaching, you know, exchange too, and, you know, that kind of adds to it. So
it's true.
Tough, and they played a really good football team. A really good football team is probably, in my opinion, the most impressive team that I've seen, you know, this year, offense and defense and special teams. So they played a really good team, and, you know, they took a licking. So it's going to be interesting to see if they're still not out of it. That division, you know, had some games lost this past week. And so, you know, they still got it in front of them. They certainly got to get the quarterback playing better.
Now, that's so true. And that AFC West is murderer's row. It's a tough division. And you're right, they're not out of it. As head coach, who would you go with? Would you stick with Brock Osweiler, or are you looking at bringing up Paxton Lynch?
Well, you know, again, you need to be there and see, you know, what's going on. And I don't know how well Paxton knows the system. I know, you know, when you bring in a young quarterback, which John Elway was, you know, and we ended up, you know, starting him at the start of the year, and he struggled with just the language of, you know, getting a playoff, and he was hurrying to get the playoff. It benched him for a while, and he came back after getting a better grasp of our offense to where it was like a, you know, language. I tell people all the time that, you know, it's very similar to, you can take a Spanish test in school, but if I sent you to Mexico City, you'd struggle understanding what they're saying. And you kind of have to learn the terminology, and that's what everybody's system is, you know, is terminology. And a quarterback has to be the one that, you know, gives everybody their assignment of what they do in the huddle. And until the quarter, so if Paxton Lynch is getting that and he's ready from that standpoint, they certainly drafted him for his physical tools. You know, it'd be a great time to see what he can do.
We are talking to Dan Reeves, a former NFL head coach, former NFL player. Now, team you played for, the Dallas Cowboys, they're in that Eagles division. You mentioned the Eagles look pretty tough. How do you think the Cowboys can catch up to them? Do you feel good about their chances in the NFC East?
Well, I tell you what, they look good, you know, against Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they played extremely well. You know, their defense, you know, came on and really against a very good running team. They stopped the run. They intercepted, you know, a pass. They played really well on defense. Their offense, you know, if Ezekiel Elliott can continue to get where he can play every week, you don't know what that situation is going to be. But he's an extremely talented running back, and then their quarterback, you know, is extremely talented too. So, yeah, they've got a good football team, but it's going to be interesting. That'll be a great matchup to get those two, you know, quarterbacks going against each other and those two defenses going against each other.
Coach Reeves,
talking about Philadelphia.
You bet.
You have 9 Super Bowls total as player and coach. Only Bill Belichick has 1 more, 10. Looking at Atlanta, that awful Super Bowl defeat last year when they had it in the bag seemingly until the end, how do you recover from a defeat like that? Because clearly they are really struggling. And how much of it do you think is mental, and how much do you think of it as their new OC in Steve Sarkisian?
Well, I think it's a combination. It's always difficult when you, and I've been there and done that, to go to a Super Bowl and lose it and, you know, try to get everybody to pay the price in the offseason. You know, I think it's sort of like water, and you can turn it on and off, and it just doesn't work that way. So that's a difficult, you know, thing. And then to have a new offensive coordinator who is trying to learn, you know, the players, the system, and so forth, you know, that takes, you know, some time too. But if you look at the game last night, it's always the little things that cost you games. And if you have a drop pass for a touchdown and you have an overthrown, wide-open receiver for a touchdown, it doesn't take but one or two plays to make you lose. You know, you look at a game, you'll look at it, and there'll be two or three plays that you either made or you missed that are the difference in the ball game.
We're talking to Dan Reeves, a former NFL coach. Coach, the anthem protests have been in the forefront of the NFL in the last few weeks, and we here in Houston were watching Bill O'Brien have to get his team ready for a Seahawks team a couple weeks ago. In light of Bob McNair's comments and all the drama around that, how as a head coach do you deal with that kind of situation? And have you ever seen anything like that that's analogous in the NFL?
No, really haven't. You know, I hate it. I hate that this situation is there. I'm glad that I don't have to deal with it, because I certainly have a very strong opinion about it. I was fortunate enough to visit our troops in 1969 in Vietnam and saw young men and young women with eyes missing, arms missing, legs missing, you know, serving our country and thanking the good Lord that they were alive and going to be able to go back home and see their mom. And then there's an awful lot of them that didn't make it back. So, you know, I always felt like that, you know, before a game, I wanted to get my guys to stand in line in a straight line, find the flag, put your hand over your heart, and, you know, pledge allegiance to the flag. You may not know the words, but you can definitely put your hand over your heart and look at the, you know, the flag. So, yeah, it irritates the heck out of me, as it does a lot of people. But certainly, you know, there's a lot of, you know, things to go on. There's two sides to it, and there certainly are some issues, you know, that they're dealing with. I just think there's different places to do it than to do it when you're, you know, not paying the homage to our servicemen. You know, I told somebody the other day, you know, we can certainly do without football in this country, but we can't do without our servicemen. You know, they are the ones that keep this country free. So, you know, you got to put things in perspective, and I'm just glad I don't have to deal with it, because it would drive me crazy if I didn't have guys standing at attention and pledging allegiance to the flag.
The word to the great Dan Reeves. Coach, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate you taking the time to join the Boss and the Gloss.
You bet. My pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me. And gals, thanks for having me.
Thanks, Coach Reeves.
All right, thanks.
The man, the myth, the legend. Wow, I wish he was still in the NFL today. I loved so many things he said. What really struck me about the Atlanta Falcons question, you know, because clearly they're having such a rough time after, you know, having an MVP season for Matt Ryan and going to the Super Bowl, was that this isn't a faucet. You cannot just turn on and off, you know, the emotions of a team like that. And, you know, they clearly experienced the worst defeat in Super Bowl history. I mean, they had it in their hands. And I think that's really important to note, that it's not just a hangover. It's a real deal thing.
Well, and it is interesting to get his perspective. Obviously, he lost a few Super Bowls along the way. And although he never had one that was quite so acute and so difficult as that one. He had several in a row, so with the Broncos, which was really a struggle, and he always had to get the team regrouped emotionally and bring them back. It's great to have Dan Reeves with us. Really, really great to have him. And so anyway, we're fortunate to get him here on SB Nation Radio.
And he reminds us that freedom is not free. There we go.
The Boss and the Gloss continues now on SB Nation Radio with David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Always fun to be with the Monday Night Delight, Carla Dawson, with Monday Night Football underway. And we have 1:24 left in the first quarter. Lions are leading over the Packers 7-0. And the Packers are, well, this is an important matchup for the NFC North. Packers dealing the post-Aaron Rodgers era, Brett Huntley at quarterback. The Packers are 4-3, Lions 3-4. And this is a must-win. Maybe nothing's a must-win yet, but it's an important game for these two because they're both trailing Chris Tubbs' Minnesota Vikings, who are sitting at 6-2.
In the NFC North.
So yes, they are.
Who would have thought the Vikings would be pulling away in the NFC North?
I think one thing you're seeing with the NFC North is, I mean, they say defense, you know, you got to have a consistent defense. And Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers covered up a lot of warts for that team.
Yes, he did.
That's exactly. Mike McCarthy is a great coach when he's got Aaron Rodgers. Now, let's see what he can do with Brett Hundley. And Detroit's defense, I mean, just a few years ago, I mean, with Ziggy Ansah and Dominican, I mean, they were the cream of the crop when it came to the NFC North with the defense. This does become a big game because Detroit, they've got the tiebreaker over Minnesota, but Minnesota right now has got the tiebreaker over Green Bay. So this becomes, I think, if Detroit can win this game and bury Green Bay a little bit and make it a two-horse race, basically, at this point, I think that's what you want. You know, if you're the NFC North, you don't want Green Bay to hang around knowing that you've got the cloud of Aaron Rodgers that could potentially come back late in the game late in the season. Oh, by the way, Week 16 could be against Minnesota. So I think if you're the Vikings, you want to see the Packers dead and buried. You don't even want to have to mess with the potential Aaron Rodgers comeback late in the year.
No, you're right. This is an important game for NFC North footing, and Detroit has a better road record than they do home. So maybe Lambeau Field is not so scary.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those where you can go back to Michael Vick had success in the playoffs. Eli Manning had success in the playoffs at Lambeau Field. I think the days of Brett Favre and the frozen tundra, I think the mystique has worn off. Teams are going in there saying, okay, we're not intimidated by the environment, by the atmosphere. And, you know, at this point, I mean, it's not really frozen because we're still in the beginning of November. So it's a fascinating dynamic, that's for sure.
Well, it is 7-0 right now in favor of the Lions. And you just heard the world according to the Minnesota Vikings from Chris Tubbs. Keep hope alive. He always lights a candle every time the Vikings play.
Hey, even when they don't play, it's for any quarterback. If you get healthy knees, by all means, I'll get you in contact with Rick Spielman.
There you go.
Hour number one in the books. Great to have Dan Reeves, SB Nation Radio.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.